This is the Archaeology News Weekly, and welcome to 2006. I'm David Connolly. This news is brought to you in partnership between Stone Pages and the British Archaeological Jobs and Resources website. All the stories have been collected from various sources, and to view the details on each story, including the source, please see the Stone Pages website at news.stonepages.com. Now, the main headlines from around the world are as follows. Ancient tombs are unearthed in Inner Mongolia. Divisions have emerged in the Tara Valley campaign in Ireland, and an ancient tool site has been found in Connecticut. A Teesside skull provides evidence of the earliest known inhabitants of the area, and ancient tombs are restored in Abu Dhabi, while in Texas, an 3,000-year-old campsite has been unearthed. French customs officials have seized ancient treasures looted from Africa, and in Scotland, fires are lit at a modern stone circle to mark the shortest day. Artifacts from the Gozo Stone Circle are to return home to Malta after touring the world. And finally, near Las Vegas in Nevada, the Valley of Fire rock art tours are to begin. Archaeologists in North China's Inner Mongolia Autonomous Region have unearthed about 500 tombs dating back to more than 2,200 years from the Warring States period in Horinger County and excavated a large number of relics. The inhumations were of mixed types, with some buried on their backs, some with straight limbs and others with bent limbs, while others were laid to rest on their sides. Five tombs were excavated with many bodies buried randomly together. One of the tombs contained more than 50 individuals. Experts say that 96% of the burials were of men aged around 25. It's quite possible that they might have been soldiers, as some of the bodies are found to have no legs or heads, and some bodies have noticeable traces of knife wounds and arrowheads in the chest region and skull. Moreover, archaeologists also found a large number of bronze swords and daggers in these tombs. There has been further disagreement in the Save Skrine Tara Valley campaign, with the group's PRO, Dr. Muran Nibrochlin, resigning from the group over differences about the alternatives the group is proposing for the M3 motorway. Whilst Dr. Nibrochlin, a lecturer in Celtic studies, will continue to oppose the route passing the Hill of Tara, she says that she does not want to be tied to one specific alternative route over another. She became the PRO of the Save Skrine Tara Valley campaign last year after Vincent Salafia resigned from the position to pursue the issue through the courts. That hearing is scheduled to begin in the High Court on the 12th of January and is expected to last up to 6 days. The group favours a multi-way plan by transport researcher Brian Guchin over the alternatives and continues to promote that plan and to examine European legal avenues. Just before Environment Minister Dick Rock made his decision giving the go-ahead for archaeological excavations along the route, she presented the minister and the Taoiseach with a statement signed by 350 academics worldwide. Dr. Nibrochlin said that she will continue to cooperate and work with those academics in their protest, as well as the other focus groups which are involved in the campaign, such as the Save the Tara Skrine Valley group itself, Tara SOS and Tara Watch. It's not the first time there's been a split in the Save Skrine Tara campaign. In the early days of the group, Julietta Clancy and the Meath Archaeological and Historical Association severed their connections with the group following disagreements. About 3,000 years ago, a group of hunters perched on a ridge near what is now New Haven Harbour in Connecticut, USA, and fashioned quartz into projectile points. The points were likely intended to form the lethal end of atlatls, or spear throwers. A skillful stalker could wield this weapon, which predated the bow and arrow, with enough force and accuracy to send a dart into a deer, turkey, or other small prey. Those ancient hunter-gatherers have long since vanished, but the quartz artifacts survive on the ridge, now known as West Rock. Michael J. Rogers, Associate Professor of Anthropology at Southern Connecticut State University, and his student, Nancy Parsons, have found almost 5,000 stone artifacts at the site, including several unfinished points and at least one unbroken dart point. The discovery reveals the importance of stone ridges to the hunter-gatherers of 3,000 to 4,000 years ago and adds details to the sparse knowledge of the late archaic period of North America. The find also hints that dozens or hundreds of similar sites probably lie inaccessible beneath parking lots and buildings across the northeast United States. Rogers and his students found the site after first consulting Cosmio Scarlatti, now a graduate student at the City University of New York, who had discovered other archaeological sites in the West Rock area. by the late Archaic, people had become a lot more specialized and the population grew, so they had to exploit all the available resources in the environment. While walking a path, Rogers and Parsons spotted a few pieces of quartz that had been shaped by human hands, and their excavations began. Parsons has now catalogued and recorded the location and type of every stone uncovered at the site. Since last fall, Parsons and assistants have excavated to a depth of around 50 centimetres in shallow layers. The team filters soil from the site to find small flakes of stone. Continued excavation revealed thousands of quartz fragments and a quartzite projectile point in pristine condition. The features of the artefacts and the soil depth at which they were found suggest their age, as ancient peoples in the northeast produced points with distinctive shapes at different times. The West Rock points resemble a quartz type common in southern New England, known as the Squibnocket Triangles, although more intact points are needed to confirm the style. They are known to date from around 4,800 to 3,600 years ago. Rogers says that the point makers were probably hunter-gatherers, perhaps living in a seasonal hunting camp. Quartz was probably not their first choice for making stone points, as although very hard, quartz cracks unpredictably and is very difficult to work. The hunter-gatherers probably selected fist-sized lumps of quartz and broke them into two parts. And once the quartz gained a sufficiently triangular shape, pieces of wood and antler were then pressed against the edges to flake off small pieces to shape the final product. Parsons wondered why the site contained so many imperfect points, and her answer is probably that the good points were used for hunting, while the less imperfect ones were discarded. The remains of Teesside's oldest man in England, at 5,230 years old, were found on Cotham Beach by a local butcher as he exercised his dog, and he had no doubt that the grey, dish-shaped bone was the back of a human skull. Detectives were called in, but with the help of one of the world's top forensic anthropologists, they soon discovered that the skull was that of a 30-year-old man from the Neolithic period. Detective Constable Chris Marchant of Cleveland Police said, "Carbon dating has pinpointed the age, but the scientist who looked at it was also able to give us the sex and age of the individual. She was able to tell us that there were no signs of any traumatic injury, and the bones appeared to have become detached from the rest of the skull through natural processes. Marine growth on the bone suggests it has been in the sea for some time, and the consensus amongst experts is it has probably came from an ancient burial ground that has now been eroded into the sea." Detective Constable Marchant added, "For its age, it's remarkably well preserved. In fact, so well preserved that a hospital pathologist thought it was recent." Peter Rowe, Sites and Monuments Officer for Tees Archaeology, said it was an extremely rare find. The dates from the Neolithic period, when people were just moving away from being hunter-gatherers to growing cereal crops and herding cattle and sheep, he said, "This man may have been a bog burial somewhere on the coasts, similar to the skeleton on display in the museum at Hartlepool. The bone is currently being kept under lock and key at a CID office." The Hilli Archaeological Park in Al Ain in the Emirate of Abu Dhabi, one of the country's major tourist attractions, has a new feature to show visitors. It was announced by the Department of Antiquities in Abu Dhabi's eastern region. The feature is a restored, stone-built collective tomb from the Umanar period, which lasted from around 2700 to 2000 BCE, and which is named after another major archaeological site on the island of Umanar, close to Abu Dhabi city. The restoration was undertaken by a joint team from the department and France's CNRS, under the supervision of Dr. Walid Yassin Al-Tikriti, archaeological advisor in the department. The work took 3 weeks to complete, and Dr. Al-Tikriti said that the tomb is one of 12 of the same period to have been found in the Hilli Archaeological Park area and adjacent areas. The presence at Hilli of tombs from the Umanar period was first drawn to the attention of archaeologists as early as the 1960s. As with other Umanar period tombs, this example has been restored in circular shape and around 7 metres in diameter, with 4 internal compartments separated by dividing walls. There are 2 entrances into the tomb. The Umanar-type tombs were used as collective burials for the local community, and over a period of time the number of burials increased, where in some cases several hundred people have been interred in them. According to Dr. Al-Tikriti, the grave may have been used for a period of up to 200 years. The original excavation of the tomb around 30 years ago uncovered a large number of disarticulated and fragmented human remains, as well as hundreds of pottery vessels and other items, some of which are now on display at the Al Ain Museum. Most Umanar period graves were constructed on the surface so that they were visible for a considerable distance. The well-cut stones that formed their walls were subsequently robbed, though, and used in other construction, and often only a few layers of stone survive beneath the present-day land surface. Other remains from the Bronze Age settlement at Hilli include large mud-brick fortified towers up to 20 metres in diameter. In all, the settlement is believed to have covered up to 10 hectares. The inhabitants were engaged in agriculture and also in international trade, mining and exporting copper from the nearby Hajar Mountains. That was exported to Mesopotamia, and they would also import pottery and other items from Iraq, Iran and the Indus Valley civilizations. The main port serving Hilli was on Umanar Island itself, where similar collective graves and a settlement have been excavated, while other Umanar tombs have been found throughout the UAE, at Jebel Buhais in Sharjah, Al Sufu in Dubai, Tel Abarak in Sharjah, and in Shimo in Ras Al Khaimah, and at Bidia in Fujairah, for example, as well as Oman itself. A Texas Department of Transportation worker found multiple ancient campsites while working on a construction project in Williamson County in the USA. The campsites date back some 8,000 years. Jonathan Budd, an archaeologist who works for the Texas Department of Transportation, says sites like these are sometimes found during work on their projects, but this one is unique. This is eligible for the National Register of Historic Places, said Budd. For the last 7,000 to 8,000 years, you have multiple occupations, and we have significant archaeological deposits here. Even though archaeologists are focusing on an area that's 70 by 30 metres, they believe the campsite is much larger. And for the most part, the artifacts they're finding are remarkably well preserved. Scientists are hoping to learn how and when early Native Americans utilized the prehistoric landscape in this area. They're trying to keep the site a secret, but looters have already compromised a small section. Steve Carpenter, an archaeologist helping out at the dig, says looting can destroy a site. It has an adverse effect on our understanding of the entire site as a whole, he said. People just don't really know it's against the law. Archaeologists say the looters are after prehistoric tools. The dig is expected to continue through to the early parts of February. French customs agents seized two illegal shipments of artifacts from Africa, including statuettes, prehistoric fossils, jewels and a pearl necklace. The separate seizures in recent weeks in the southern cities of Arles and Perpignan netted more than 17,700 archaeological objects in vehicles driven by two Moroccan nationals. In the first operation, agents seized more than 17,600 objects from Mali and Morocco in a Moroccan-registered vehicle that was heading towards Germany. They included fossils of crocodile and turtle skulls and a dinosaur's jaw from about 60 million years ago. The same vehicle was carrying dozens of bronze statuettes in human and horse form, jewels and pottery from Mali, most of which dates to around 1500 BCE. In Perpignan, agents stopped an Italian-registered car containing 124 objects dating from the Neolithic era between 6,000 to 5,500 BCE, including arrowheads, axes and pearl necklaces. What is very sad here is that although the artifacts have now been recovered, much of the information about where they came from and the context of the find has been lost forever. Fires were lit at a modern stone circle in Aberdeenshire in Scotland to mark the winter solstice. The Breamy Stones at Broom Hill by Lynn of Skene attracted people for quiet reflection as they watched the sun set on the shortest day of the year. Organisers of the gathering asked people to take along wood to fuel four fires. Jason Schroeder, who erected the stone circle, urged visitors to write down experiences they didn't want to live through again on a piece of paper before burning the messages in the central fire. Mr. Schroeder, originally from South Africa, said around 3,500 revellers turned up at his previous summer solstice at the stones. The ceremony started at sunset and was due to end around 10 p.m. Visitors were told not to bring alcohol or to camp at the site, but were urged to take along musical instruments to add to the entertainment. The 11 granite stones were placed in a circle more than 20 yards across at Broom Hill in May last year by Mr. Schroeder and the landowner, Alan Brownie. Unique archaeological artefacts unearthed during excavations at the Gozo Stone Circle in Zagara, Malta, are expected to return to their home next year after touring major European countries. The Ministry for Gozo will install modern showcases at the Gozo Museum of Archaeology for these artefacts by mid-2006. These showcases will protect the artefacts and will include shatterproof glass displays in a climate-controlled environment. These will also allow artifacts from the Gozo Stone Circle to be permanently put on display in Gozo for the first time. The Gozo Stone Circle is a prehistoric cemetery in Zagara, situated just a few miles away from the Gargantia temples. In 1987, excavation works started at the location. These excavations brought to light accurate and scientific information about the population of the island of Gozo during these times, as remains of around 700 individuals were found. More information is now available with the artifacts that were unearthed. These artifacts have also toured major European cities, including London, Florence, Prague, and Amsterdam. Ancient rock art adorns the southern Nevada landscape, and tours of the cultural and archaeological treasures are scheduled monthly through May at the Valley of Fire State Park in southern Nevada in the USA. The next tour is on Saturday, January the 14th, and the park is located just north of Las Vegas and features more than 100 panels of ancient petroglyphs. These particular images are probably between 800 and 2,000 years old, but some could be much older, explained Alana Woody, executive director of the Nevada Rock Art Foundation. Woody has been leading rock art tours in southern Nevada since 2002, where they are scheduled all year round. Reservations are required for all tours. Southern Nevada tours are held the second Saturday of winter and spring months. To register for the tour, call 702-804-6723 if you're in or near Nevada. Attendees should bring plenty of water, lunch, hat, and wear sturdy walking shoes. The tours are free and will begin around 9 a.m., the last approximately 3 hours, finishing with an optional tour of the Lost City Museum for an extra $2. Woody, along with local community leaders and archaeologists, founded the Nevada Rock Art Foundation in 2002 in order to preserve and protect the more than 1,000 sites in Nevada, as well as educate the public. Despite being situated in spectacular landscapes, many sites, some as old as 10,000 years, are still under threat from building development, vandalism, and natural degradation. So it just goes for me to wish you all again a happy 2006. That's from Diego and Paolo of Stone Pages, Dave Horrocks, and myself, David Connolly. And watch out early this year for more details of Badger's first UK conference in York, as well as a new website providing even more information and guidance, as well as employment and educational courses. That was Badger at www.bajr.org. And remember that always more can be found at Stone Pages, news.stonepages.com. Thanks very much for listening to this first Archaeology News Weekly of the new year, and we hope you'll return again next week.